Welcome to Taking the Rams by the Horns, a podcast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. This is a podcast in partnership with Sowetan. I'm your host, Rams Mabote. So, things are going to change on this podcast, right? I went reflecting at the end of last year and I thought, I'm going to do things differently. I had already told you that I'm going to speak to more people that I relate to, who are friends, and I probably will throw out a lot of politics unless it's very necessary. As in, politicians will speak politics with my friends. So that is continuing. So we're going to have a lot of conversations like that. But also, as we go forward, and I'm not going to say it now, but I'll say it as this episode continues, you're going to see a lot of faces coming again and again and again. You know why? Because you like them. And I thought they should come back. And actually, I'm starting with one who almost ended the year last year. And he's back. And he's going to be a regular guest for a few episodes this year. His name is Tami Panda. He's a good buddy of mine. About 20-something years of friendship. And he is a man of many, many facets. And today we're going to talk about a number of issues, including football, by the way. Mambo.
Mambo.
How's it?
No, I'm good, Bob.
Good to see you. Happy New Year.
No, man, Happy New Year. We must also say that thing. Compliments.
We gotta say that. So I've got a rule. If I do not see you for the entire year,
yeah,
and I still see you on the 31st of December this year, I'm gonna say Happy New Year. It doesn't stop with me until I've seen you.
Yeah, of course. You haven't seen the guy.
How does it stop?
Yeah, no.
It can't
be
right.
Okay, no, compliments.
So one of the things that people do this time of the year, Mambo, is We make resolutions.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
People make resolutions. And I mean, I was at the gym earlier today. And
sure,
without fail, every time of the year this year, the gyms are full. Right? They're full. By Feb, man.
It
goes back to what we, in fact, maybe not. But by March, it's the same faces that I've always known over the years.
Yeah.
Everybody else is gone.
He's gone, yeah, sure. Like,
so I think there's a futility with... with
the choice of words,
with the resolutions, and I thought I should ask you, one, have you made any for this year?
Yeah, I do have. I do have.
I can't wait to hear.
I do have.
I'm all ears.
And it's in farming. I'm interested actually in acquiring cattle and a cattle farm. So I'm not looking for a cattle
like
farm.
Like Guedamantage.
I actually didn't know that he's doing that. Yeah, but...
Yeah, I thought you should not have said that, but let's continue.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, considering that he's a tiger anyway.
He's going to eat them.
Yeah. Talk about food security in his case. Yeah. But yeah, so I am looking for cattle and a cattle farm. And I'm very clear on that one, Mambo. It can't be looking for cattle. I also need a cattle farm. So I can't just have one over the other. And I'm not going to go for farming. I'm looking for cattle and a cattle farm. I'm that clear on mine.
God, it's amazing. What would have prompted this? And by the way, I need to say, I know that you're a farm boy. You're born in rural.
Yeah, I was born in Stenga.
In Stenga, right?
Natal, yeah.
Yeah. But you came to Johannesburg
early
age and stuff like that. Become cosmopolitan.
Yes. Bloody,
you make us drink whiskey and you do other things. But what has prompted you back into this world?
So, the more I got exposed into interacting with people, you start to realize things that you are also passionate about, but you didn't pay attention to.
Mm.
For example, because cattle were common in my village, I didn't like them. And there was also a stigma attached to being, a shepherd. You know, so all of those things were problematic. And half of the shepherds I knew were guys I attended primary school
with. Yeah.
And I didn't understand the value or perhaps the equity that cattle have.
Mm-hmm.
Now I understand it. And I've looked at what happens in cattle production, whether you are looking at the hide part, whether you are looking at the meat part, or they are looking for a guy who sells them. I mean, people are still paying lobola.
Yeah,
people also slaughter.
I mean, there are people who sell cattle to procreate with other cattle.
Exactly, for breeding purposes.
For breeding purposes.
So it is a huge thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help once in a while to look at the price of meat in South Africa.
And it is crazy. It has gone crazy. In the last 2 years, meat has gone completely crazy.
So of course. So I start to realize the value of or the equity that is attached to this thing. And then, of course, there is nostalgia, man. I mean, I went home and saw cattle because you know, if you see cattle in Joburg, they're not the same as...
No, yeah. Right? And some of them cross over the streets and stuff.
Exactly.
Like that,
and
yeah.
Some of them are...
They know the address.
They're also used
very
to
smart
as well.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, so, and I went home and, you know, take a walk and try and relate with nature. And that there was not this last year. Mm. It's been a while. And I passed a place where they dip, you know, where
yeah,
immunized
they
or something.
Up,
they clean up
yeah,
right? And the smell took me back to childhood. And then I thought, maybe.
So speaking of the dipping area, right?
Yeah.
See, people like you who decide to go into cattle and cattle farming
yeah,
make it sound glamorous. And I like that fact that you've mentioned dipping.
Yeah.
They have to be immunized.
Yes.
You know, they have to be fed properly. Then yes, there are opportunistic diseases,
yes,
you know, like foot in mouth
yeah,
and stuff like that. So
yeah,
it's not, there's such, so much more involved than just having them and feeding them and
yes,
making money off them.
Yes.
Are you ready for that kind of stuff?
Look, you'll never be ready for it, but it's better to be informed about it.
Yeah.
You're right. So I am leaning towards that direction a little bit more. What does it take? And have people that have done it successfully to be around you to tell you, hey, this season things would work this way.
Yeah.
Or when it's raining, you know, this is how cattle are looked after. You
yeah,
know, you drive past them and you think it's raining and these guys are not cold.
Hmm.
But there's a lot that goes behind the scenes. So in all those things, you'll always need a mentor, somebody who guides you. And it's better these days. We've got a lot of people who farm
yeah,
and who are accessible, provided you can create good relations. So I've got someone that I look up to. And then there's a lot of information out there. You get it, verify it with the guys who do it, and then they tell you this will work, this won't work. Yep.
So years ago, I was driving to KZN
yeah,
with another friend of mine. And, you know, we passed these farms and there are cattle. And he asked a very, what I think was a profound question.
Yeah.
He says, Smiley, listen to us, Bore, you got to.
So it's a profound question, Mambo. And okay, his is different from mine.
Yeah.
Mine was, how are they designed that they don't get cold? Right? Because if I go to Scotland, for example, I would see what they call a Highland cow. And
yeah,
you can see the fur.
Yes.
Like you can tell this one is...
It's created for
yeah,
this weather.
But ours are also, you know, unique in their own way. And that's when you start to realize the importance of what the skin or the hide would be like, you know, and you know, and the interpretation of it. I know these days it's fancy to have a Nguni hide mm-hmm, on the floor, and but they have a meaning because of the type of the cow, because of the resistance that it has. So those are all things that I'm investing in knowledge about.
All the best, mate.
Ah,
so
thank you, buddy.
And we're going to continue with this conversation, but let me tell you,
yeah,
I've got only two resolutions for this year.
Yeah.
One is to continue with the things that I did well last year.
Of course.
That's resolution number one.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stop with the things that I did and did very well, so I continue with them.
Yeah.
The second one is finding people like you who are doing amazing things and saying to them, what can I supply you? What do your cattle
perfect,
eat? What do they
yes,
what do they need,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So, you know, I'm a serial entrepreneur who has also failed a million times, as you know.
But that's what qualifies an entrepreneur, isn't
yeah,
it?
So, but every time I see them, I'm thinking, I don't want to farm.
Yeah.
But if I can supply this guy with fodder.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of you buying from Fanemerve.
Yes.
Let
yeah,
me do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So when you're ready, let me know. But
I will.
Let's go back
to
the subject, though,
sure, yeah,
of why I wanted us to talk about resolutions.
Yeah.
What is the importance of them? Because I honestly, you know, it's not a joke, the reality of what happens at the gym, right?
Mm.
Those who flock in and then disappear a month
yeah,
later. There are people who make so many other resolutions and they die very quickly.
Yeah.
Why are we still doing this? What is it? Why is it important?
It's in human nature, Mambo, to always pursue hope. And we never define it, but it's in human nature. And because we don't push ourselves to achieve, we live too much in hope. Right? We live too much in it. And I think in most cases, we're not disappointed by hope. We disappoint hope ourselves. And I'll tell you why I say that. Let's use an example of the guys that go to the gym, as you say.
Yeah.
The problem about that is the purpose of what they want. I mean, the gym is not the thing they want to do. There's something else that they actually want as an outcome.
They're looking for something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is not defined.
Yes.
And because that is not defined, the means will always struggle all the time.
And then also because it's not defined, they will sell, rather they will buy snake oils. You know, I always call these voodoo things. Somebody will come to you and say, oh, no, maybe you should come and do Pilates. Oh,
yeah.
But when you don't know why you're doing Pilates,
you're doing it,
you're going to quit in no time. In no time.
So I'll give an example, Mambo. In the same concept of resolutions, you wear one quite often, a smartwatch, right? And it's the quickest way to measure if the things that you are looking for.
Yes.
Are what the gym will provide.
Yeah.
Because one of the greatest things that gym requires out of you is your time.
It does.
Right. It requires your time. I once saw a meme, I think it was 2 years ago, it said, gym is a scam. They say, come in the morning to get energy, but you're blowing it out. But if you don't have that reality in your mind,
yes,
then you will not sustain going to gym, right? So I think in a clear resolution, the objective of what you need to do as the means must be the objective must be more clear than the means itself. So, for example, I knew when I wrote down my resolution that I want cattle and a cattle farm because I know it's possible to have cattle. I mean, currently I do have cows right now, okay?
I always said that's bull, but you didn't lie to me.
Did I say heifer? So I do have, right, two. And they were a gift. So whilst I was thinking about this thing, I'm not joking. It was a whiskey conversation. And this guy, boom, says to me, you know what? You're so good. I want to give you two cattle. I was like, what?
I want to have friends like your friends,
And I'm being honest. And so I was like, wow, I thought about this thing. I've been thinking about this thing, but I've not really acted on it. And boom, this guy, he talks to me almost on a weekly basis to say, where should I drop them? Right? So I have cattle. The thing that I don't have is a farm, right? But also I was not looking for just a farm. I mean, I could talk to friends and then take this cattle and they help me to breed them and look after them. And that's the easiest thing, but that's not my ultimate.
You can have an Airbnb for cattle.
Yes, Airbnb for cattle. in Fryhead. But then I realized that that's not my ultimate goal, okay? Because I can have those cattle and they grow in that space. I can do what I want with them. But then the problem is, do I reach that nostalgia moment as well where I could have the cow dung experience that I...
So you want to end up as this guy who's a cattle farmer, breeding these things and managing the farm and all that stuff?
Mambo, at the very least of that picture, I want to be a guy who will take you and we sit in our khaki shorts and we're having a good scotch and we're watching my cattle.
But you don't have a belly for that kind of thing. I mean, those people are normally with big bellies and stuff, you know.
But also, Mambo, you know, I don't have lips for whiskey, isn't it? If you consider what they used to say about spirit drinkers.
Yeah. Okay. Good luck.
Thank you.
All the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Know the objective.
Thank you.
And therefore, when you commit to this thing, you'll be driven by the objective.
Course. Yes.
Excellent.
Thank you, Mambo.
You have saved the concept of resolutions for me. I honestly ridicule them. When people tell me about New Year's resolutions, I just laugh at them. Like, you know.
Mambo, I think also, maybe as we leave the subject, one of the most important things is also group them by interpretation. So for example, the gym thing is health. Right?
Mm.
So if you're gonna run on a treadmill for 20 minutes, oh by the way, it's recommended, please give us time to run also then.
So please, man. Yeah,
20
finish.
Minutes max. Yeah, please finish. Don't keep on extending. And then when you are done, go eat a burger somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. I mean it doesn't help us. Oh Mangola. Or what? So if it's health, let's look at health in totality and gym becomes part of it. Mm-hmm. Because you could walk around your house and you fulfill the purpose.
Yeah.
You could have your headphones. Could be a Teams call and you are walking around or whatever. So there's a lot that you can do. Don't occupy our space, man. You know, gym is our parliament.
It's a public space that needs to be shared by everybody, right?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, and I get so frustrated with you guys.
You know yourselves.
No.
Allow us to cleanse our eyes. Because once in a while, I want to check if my eyes are okay without spectacles. Anyway.
Don't think I understand you, but let's move on to something else.
Sure.
So one of the conversations you and I have a lot.
Yeah.
And I mean a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know whether we have ever had a conversation in our... if 2027 is next year, so it's been 30 years.
Yep.
Next year, it will be 30 years. So in the 30 years that we've known each other, almost, I don't remember us having a conversation that did not include football.
Yeah, no, like, it won't be possible.
I mean, when I want to complain, when I want to moan, you're the first person I think about. When I want to celebrate something that I saw, you're the first person I think about. Yeah. When I want to understand things that I probably am missing about a game I was watching or something, you're the person I think about. Because I confess, I've got a very low view of a number of football fans, right? I'm going to tell you the truth. So I don't even engage on social media.
Yeah.
I'll post something and people,
then, yeah, you
people
leave it. Yeah.
Say something like, no, I'm not engaging.
You know, and we know the favorite ones.
Right? So we just got knocked out of the AFCON.
Yeah.
And I want us to focus on two things on the AFCON,
sure,
in particular. I want us to focus on whether we were a team that everybody speaks about, that everybody suddenly feels we should have won this AFCON, let alone go through to,
knockout
to the last 16 or the last 8 or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But two, whether, as others are saying now, the experts, the new experts, that Hugo Bruce must leave before the World Cup. So let's start with the first one. What was the good, the bad, and the ugly about Bafana Bafana of 2025?
The first good thing about the Bafana Bafana of 2025 is qualifying for AFCON.
And the World Cup.
And the World Cup.
Yeah.
So if we look at it in totality, it's qualifying for major tournaments.
Yes.
Okay. And also, something that everybody doesn't pay attention to, to have a wide range of quality players you can pick as your starting 18, not 11. So you've got 11 and then 7 reserves, right?
Yeah.
We've got a huge pool of that. I mean, we almost have the similar type of goalkeepers, which is quite rare.
Thank you for mentioning that. Because the other day I wrote that, but I didn't post.
Yeah.
See, how crazy is it that you would have a Sipho Chane, who probably, if you look at the current PSL season, is the top form keeper.
He's a goalkeeper of the year so far. Well, of the season so far.
He hasn't touched the ball.
Yeah.
At all.
At the national team.
At national level.
No.
That tells you how strong we are at that level.
Yes.
That
so he
doesn't get...
I mean, I can tell you now that we would not worry if we saw him in the lineup as number one.
Yes.
Right? So, if you look at that, I will start by saying congratulations to Hugo Bruce first, right, for creating this pool of players.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I saying congratulations to Hugo Bruce? We've always produced great players, but we've never harnessed that talent and we've never created a team out of that talent. Right?
We've never put them together.
And for the first time, we have a team and there's been a great succession plan. You can actually see, from the junior sides. I mean, one of the greatest things that he did at AFCON was to bring two boys who come from our junior side, and he knew they won't play. And he could have replaced them with good footballers who would have played.
Yeah.
But that's foresight, right? And that's what we've lacked in our national team.
When the phenomenon, the real Ronaldo, first came onto the scene, he was at the World Cup, never touched the ball.
And was on the bench.
Yeah.
And he's got a medal for not touching the ball in 1994 USA, right? That's what you do to promote players. So that's the first thing that I would say in the good took place. Big pool, we qualified, that's great. What I will define as the ugly, I'll first go to SAFA in terms of management. I get too passionate when I speak football.
Yeah.
Next.
I know.
I get too passionate.
Have some water.
Yeah.
And you see, it's funny for me that you would say you're going to go to SAFA and talk about management. I thought you would say mismanagement. But yeah, continue.
Yeah, no, they may think that mismanagement is a contest for some ladies somewhere. Because I think SAFA is fine. So anyway, there's something that I observed at the AFCON that I think SAFA needs to really evaluate about themselves. And I'm glad what one of the legends in South Africa also spoke about it. I don't know if you noticed, great countries in the Nations Cup bring ex-professionals who were legends in their era to come and support the national team.
Mm.
We don't.
We don't.
We don't. We were lucky to have Dr. Khumalo there, brought by a broadcaster.
Right?
He was
not by SAFA.
By SAFA.
Yeah.
Right? He actually, I'm privileged to have a conversation with someone who said, actually, Ronwen Williams had to walk to him as a captain to say, legend. Literally, apparently addressed him as legend. He said, legend, please come to the dressing room after we were knocked out.
And Doc says he walked in there and you could hear a pin drop. Those boys were devastated. Right?
That's crazy, man.
I'm telling you the truth. So you look at a team that we were playing against when we got knocked out. You saw Mboma there.
Yes.
He's not part of the technical team. Right? You saw Rigobert Song, who was fired as a head coach, exactly. But he was there.
He was there.
Right? And it doesn't help that the president is Samuel Eto'o. Right? So when this guy is cheering you on, he's cheering you because he knows the meaning of that badge. Mm. What we've done at SAFA, and look, credit to them to a certain degree, is to take people who know how to sing Bafana Bafana songs. That's fine. But don't deny us the rubbing off of gold dust to those who are wearing our jersey.
Because it is so important, Mama.
Yeah.
These guys have walked that path before.
Yes.
When they say to you, when a Dr. Khumalo says to you, you can beat Cameroon.
Yes.
It's because he has beaten Cameroon before, right?
He has scored the first goal.
When you hear it from a Rams, it's like, what does it mean? Who is even this Rams guy? Right? Oh, Mama Joy. Yeah. With respect. Sorry, Mama Joy.
Yeah.
But it's just an example. It's not about you.
Yeah.
So I'm told when you join Orlando Pirates.
Yes.
And you then you have to go and meet the chairman.
Okay.
And he walks you through the corridors and he talks you through those pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you walk into the boardroom, some of those guys are in the room, in the boardroom with you.
Waiting.
To say, you are part of this cult.
Institution.
Yes.
Yeah. You're
not just coming to join and play a football
club
match.
No.
We lack in that with SAFA, you say.
We lack that because we've undermined the capacity of brand education.
Is it though? I don't think so. Because you're speaking as a brand person. I think we lack that because this inferiority complex in our leaders at SAFA. They have this fear, undefined and even irrational, that if you have your Lucases and your doctors hanging about, they'll one day take over my job.
But they should. Oh, well, it's about time they do so. You know, it shouldn't be a secret. And I'm not ashamed to say that I'm glad SAFA is not a political party. They won't assassinate me. But I mean...
Sorry to disturb you.
But I mean, in all fairness, Danny Jordan has outlived his time at SAFA.
Mm.
If ever you were a chairman, a CEO, or whatever, right, in an institution like SAFA, for instance, Danny has got medals, whether gold, silver.
Mm.
It's enough.
He's got it all.
It's enough.
Yeah.
Let me be honest with you. It's enough, right? And I'm not saying it's time our football is managed by footballers. No. I'm just saying fresh ideas. That's all I'm saying, right? I mean, for crying out loud, even his former friends, Joe Havelange is no longer there at FIFA.
Yeah.
Sepp Blatter is no longer there.
Not in prison
FIFA.
Yet, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Jerome Valk is not there.
Yeah.
Issa Hayatu too, here is
They're
not
They're all
there.
Gone.
They're all gone.
Yeah.
Who does he talk to? Patrice? No, man, guys. No. I mean, your company, your friend. Let us invite you to come with us to the tournament. Let's do that. You are at that level now. Let's honor you. And then, we have the nerve now of your second question to say Hugo must go.
Before we go to Hugo, please, let's talk about the South African football fan. I mean, so one of the things that happened to me is that I watched a lot of games alone.
Yeah.
And that exposes me to nonsense because I end up checking what's on social media. If I were watching with other people, we'd be watching and conversing between ourselves.
Yep.
But because I'm alone, then I check what other people were saying.
Yeah.
I was astounded. And I thought maybe I'm the one who's not seeing it by how we had a horde of people who were not very supportive of this team, who almost were happy when we were eliminated,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I find that crazy. By the way, before Hugo Proust, I can pick any of these people who are negative, who would not have known of any game that I was playing, who would be shocked that, oh, we're finally playing.
Yeah.
And suddenly, everybody knows when the national side is playing because we have brought back the pride into this thing. We brought not only pride, but football. There's amazing football happening there.
Yeah.
So am I crazy?
You are not. So... we are a nation that likes to be intoxicated by our own voices than reality. Okay, let's look at the stats. Do you know that there were two countries in the AFCON that had more than 15 games without a loss? It's Morocco and Bafan. Morocco are semi-finalists of the World Cup.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Bafana is a team that was struggling to qualify for AFCON prior to the last edition.
Yes.
And then obviously it got eliminated into the current one, right? And before the current one, by the way, we were viewed as favorites. Not because we just have a good team. The type of football that we play, all right? The problem about the fan is that they don't have information that backs their argument. They've the words that articulate their current emotion.
You see why I don't engage them?
Yeah.
Because they don't argue on information.
No.
It's just emotion.
It's emotions of the current state of affairs,
right?
I'll give an example. If you say Hugo Bruce must go, in the game against Cameroon, in the first 5 minutes, there were three clear-cut 1v1 chances on our left wing to score three goals, which would have changed the complexion of a game to a 3-0. Yeah. I don't even think Cameroon would have scored two after that.
A 2-0 was enough.
They would have changed their pattern of play.
Exactly.
Right? So, from planning, are you saying Hugo is wrong? Never. He has shown you the weaknesses, and he selected players who had the capacity to take those runs. Someone comes to me and he says, but why Mudiba was not playing at that left back? He didn't have that pace. He might have had the finish, but the pace to get to that spot, he didn't have.
You see, again, these are the conversations you and I have that I can't have with these fans, right?
Yeah.
But you're playing these huge players from Cameroon.
Yes.
You can't dominate them pound for pound.
Yes.
So take them on speed. That's what the coach was doing
there.
That's
what the coach was doing. And also maximizing on the fact that in their hugeness, they can't turn. They cannot turn.
Yeah.
Right? The only thing that went wrong in that game is that when that goal was scored by Cameroon, we sort of thought we are now beginning to be defeated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing that team lacks. The courage to say, listen, you are world beaters as well. Because the way we were knocked out in the previous AFCON was on penalties. And nobody had ever given them a chance to even reach the knockout stage anyway. Right? So because
we were eliminated in the previous World Cup by a referee, not by Ghana.
No.
By a referee.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, so people don't look at all those stats to say, hang on, look at this team, look at what this team is doing, and look at where it's going. Let me give you an example, Mambo. We are probably witnessing the most skillful and talent-filled AFCON ever. I know we've had great stars, there are Paddy Pelés and all of that. But in this AFCON, we are probably having 87% of the players in totality who are playing in good leagues.
Yeah. In good leagues.
In good leagues.
Yeah, because there's this thing about, but you know, we don't have foreign-based players. Even Bruce said it, but people misunderstood. Sorry for interrupting you.
Yeah.
But we're talking good leagues because now there are people who are posting, there is this boy who's playing in Netherlands second league. There's this boy playing in bloody Finland. Like, no, that's not what we mean.
No.
We mean players who are playing for Atalanta and Juve and Man United for all this. Real Madrid, right?
In AFCON, right? Some alphabetical order people are already scouting that guy to say we need him in the Premier League. So if you consider that, and then you look at the composition of the South African team, the first thing to clap hands for is PSL. Quality of
it tells
PSL.
You the level of PSL, right?
PSL is a huge league.
Exactly.
So there are many positives in this Nations Cup for this South African team and for our own team to be proud of. So PSL is good. The second thing that I want to highlight is, bro, you reward loyalty. I don't care if you can assemble a 11 or even 23-man squad of overseas-based players for Bafana Bafan. Hugo Bruce knew his soldiers that he qualified with.
Yes.
He knows them.
We can't do the Isasa thing, right? Only when we qualify, there's a Hans Wonk.
No.
You know, what is his name?
Philippe.
No.
I remember.
JNJ.
Palacios.
Palacios. They say, who's this new keeper? He says, Hans Wonk. They say, Wonk. No, not Wonk.
But Wonk.
Wonk. that's what we did, right? In 1998, we brought the Wonks of this world.
Yeah.
The Isas.
The Pierre Isas.
What happened to the Pierre Isas?
Yeah.
What happened to the guys that brought us there?
Right. So if you consider that, Mambo, and you say you reward loyalty, that's effective management. Because those guys will say, we'll die for the coach.
Yes.
Because, and he tells them, I mean, look how personal Hugo takes this thing. I know that he was criticized for it. And I know he spoke as a father and an old man, right? Yeah. When he says, I wish Mbogas would have waited to get to this tournament or even get to the World Cup.
Yeah.
This is a former defender who is looking at the upcoming defender and he says, I've never seen something like this. The world should see you before you make your decision. Such is the team that we had, right? And if you consider that when we qualified for World Cup, before we went to Nations Cup, by the way, there was a player, I don't know if these fans in South Africa know this story. There's a guy who is from Georgia who plays for PSG, who was bidding to play for Bafana at the World Cup and he did not want to come to the Nations Cup. So what must we do with our guys when they were being
kicked? Suddenly we should call
him. We must call him. Yeah. No, we can't do that. We can't do that. And then somebody, to end this conversation.
We're not ending, I end conversations.
You know, to put an icing into the conversation, when we played Zimbabwe, by the way, people forget that football is first played off the field, right? Zimbabwe and South Africa, South Africa, Namibia, South Africa, Botswana, for all I care. In fact, we can go as far as Lesotho. It's a derby.
It is.
It's a derby.
Yeah.
Right? Number one. Number two, if you look at the composition of the national team of Zimbabwe, you can tell the benefits of being a labor migrant. The parents to those guys are in London. The kids are attending academies there. Right? Give credit where it's due.
Exactly.
Give credit where it's due.
Why is it that we only look at us?
I
mean, that goal against us, that first goal against
where the guy,
that's a brilliant football goal, right? You can't wish for anything better than that. But because it happens against us, suddenly, seeing come. What about the guy who scored the goal? Why can't you give him credit?
Give credit where it's due.
Okay, should Hugo Bruce leave?
No, go away. In fact, if I were at SAFA, I would be negotiating with him to say, I know you want to go to retirement, but what does it take to have you as a consultant? What does it take? Because what we are doing with Hugo Bruce right now is what we did with Clive Buck.
Yeah.
And history is there to prove us wrong, that really that was a dumb move, right? Hugo doesn't only understand African football, but he also understands African players. That knowledge should not go to waste. Nane must be able to call him. By the way, I'm an advocate to say the next head coach of Bafana Bafana should be Hellman.
Yeah, because everybody else speaks now about Pizzo and
no,
Rulani.
It's not fair.
And I ask myself, what happens to the guy who's been number two?
He's been there. Because that's how Pizzo also got to be who he is. When Parreira left, he was given a chance.
Exactly.
This is about continuity, right? So, and by the way, people underestimate what Hellman does for that team. Hellman brought the under-20s into that team.
Yeah.
He brought the under-20s to that. This pool we are talking about is his inside job, right? And we don't want, you know, Mambo, just because our lives are measured by results, we don't appreciate process.
And process is more important.
It's more important.
You know,
it's more important.
The next subject we're going to talk about, I always say, so I play golf, right?
Yeah.
And
you found love.
And somebody would hit a shot that ends up hitting the trees or getting into the water or something like
or
that. And I say to them, was it a good shot? Because the shot is not the result.
No.
Those are two different things.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
And I always try to say to people, did we play well?
That's more important.
Did we win? No.
No.
That's sad.
Yes.
But did we play well? And that is so critical.
You know, Mambo, if you use that analogy and we look at the game against Cameroon, box entries were above 8.
Yes.
Shots on target were above 6, right? I don't even want to talk about the ones that were wide. Now, an idiot will come and say, yeah, but that's lack of experience. But that's when we are building it. That's where we are building
it. When does it happen?
Well, that's where we are building it. The same team that won the 1996 World Cup was once named 4x4s.
Right?
4x4s.
Yes.
And experience was built from being 4x4s to be world beaters. I don't care what the guys are saying.
And Clive Barker kept the same core. About 80% were the same guys that took us to 1996.
To tell you the truth, his pool even helped Jomo Sono in 98 Nations
Cup.
Yes. That's how
to lose in the finals.
To lose in the finals.
Yes.
So I am of the view, leave the guy alone. Let him focus on the World Cup. let's protect these players, because there are some guys who will be eager now, because the fans have spoken, to go and kick a particular player to be injured and not get into the World Cup. Let's protect these players, and let's just make sure that the team has justifiable support. For me, Bafana qualifying for the World Cup the way they did, coming through the group the way they did,
to top that group
without 3 points that they had fought for, and through mismanagement of Safa, lose a 3 points, a justified 3 points, and also beat a Nigeria that scored with a hand
right,
with a draw,
yeah,
and qualify for the World Cup. Because people are clapping for Nigeria now. Do you know why they are clapping for Nigeria? They don't understand. If I was a Nigerian player anyway, Mamba, I will tell you, I don't have another tournament.
This is it.
This is it.
This is why Osimhen is throwing everything in this tournament. He knows this is it.
Look, man, all of them.
Exactly.
But yet, we couldn't do that. Why? We were still having an eye also on the World Cup. So my heart is saying, Bafana, Bafana, well done, boys. I appreciate you, and you've got my support going to the World Cup.
Okay. Let's get into another subject. It's the final subject of today.
Yeah.
Others we'll deal with next time you come around.
Sure.
And then you took up golf.
Yeah.
You know, I would see pictures of you or videos of you on the range. You know, you'd be so excited about this thing. And I was fascinated. You know, I've been playing this game for 25 years or so.
Yeah.
So every time somebody takes up golf, I'm like, yes.
Finally.
Finally, somebody gets to understand why they should be doing this.
Maybe I should give them insights on your first comment when I told you that I bought golf clubs. And you said, who is she? Because
exactly.
You felt like you have failed.
I have failed to convince you. There must be a woman who convinced you to do this thing. Like, I failed for many years. So who is she?
It's golf. No, Mambo, I think I bumped to somebody who was not only in the same birth period as we are, 30th of April, you are 1st of May, and they were born on the 29th.
Yeah.
So the only thing that I didn't do that the two of you do is golf. So I thought, no, it can't be. There's something I'm missing here. And they encouraged me to do one thing only, Mambo. They said, just go to the range and hear the sound of that ball. That's all. And up to today, nothing is as refreshing as that sound.
You honestly give me feedback about the sound that you hear from the post I make of my shots.
Because it's, for me, when you hear that ping, you know, like it's like, wow, he got it.
Yeah.
So it was an encouragement based on people I keep around. And then the next thing was, honestly, I fell in love with it when I hit the first ball. And going to your point, because I've had a chance to be walloped by him, but it also became the first chance where I had a birdie.
Well, the very first game of this, the very first 18 holes he ever played, he made a birdie. Like, crazy.
Yeah, and I'll keep that because you are commenting.
Yeah, I recorded that moment.
Yeah, so I think for me what is lovely about the game is not everything that people had taught me before. You know, your networking, yeah, that will be there. You interact with people, but so is being in a taxi. Right? I also don't believe that golf is expensive. You know, clubs may be expensive, but they keep you. They last long.
The very first set of clubs I owned, I played for 10 years.
They
the
last
same
long.
Set of
yeah,
clubs.
It's, yeah, it's a beautiful investment. And then, believe it or not, Mambo, golf challenges me with one thing in my life. And it's fine, I have to say one thing. When you hit that ball, or when you have to hit the ball, rather, that's the only thing you can think about.
Nothing else.
In football, I've had moments where I thought, should it be a pass or a shot?
Yeah.
But in golf...
And there's this guy coming.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about this guy.
But in golf, I discovered it's possible to have one thought and focus on it. And your reaction, or rather your action, will expose that your thought was disturbed. One thought. Just, can I hit the ball?
Yeah.
Yeah. Direction is secondary. Can I hit the ball?
And people then do not understand why there's this requirement for peace and silence, right?
Yes.
Because I want to give you a chance to think about this shot that you're going to make.
And it's one
it's
thought.
One thought.
It's one thought.
One thought.
One thought. And I had never lived my life to have one thought. And that's what golf has given me. So singleness of mind, what we then term focus.
Yeah.
Is what golf gave me. So when I want to remember that I can think one thought, I go to my golf bag.
And how has it been? How's it been since you started? So, how are you finding it?
So I have to take you up on the challenge of being in the course. Great warning. All of us are great players at the driving range.
Oh, of course, everybody's a star on the driving range.
All of us. And it's worse because I go to the same one all the time. Right?
So you know everything. Yeah.
And then I went and played with this guy, and I won't mention, oh, what a pristine golf course, I must say. So we went to a beautiful golf course, right? For a beginner.
No, actually, no, guys. Zimbali is where we played. Guy plays his very first golf game at Zimbal in Devon. Like, how crazy can that be?
Yeah, let me slide it in. And I organized it.
Right? Yeah, of course. I mean he's tummy pan, but I mean, like, I'm just Rams, right?
So I think one of the most fascinating things that I realized when we were at Zimbal is that I didn't even have the right position. Because
but the no no a lot of things were wrong. Range. You also bought the wrong glove in the morning.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I know. Hey, and now I understand why this is called the golf tee. By the way, So it's important to go to the course and then play.
Yeah.
So I want to take you up on that one because, you might think the birdie is a favorite moment of mine at Zimbali Golf Course. No, it was the bunker.
Yeah.
It was the bunker because I had fans all of a sudden from the clubhouse.
People are watching from the clubhouse.
I felt like I'm in the PGA thing, right? And that challenges you how to get out of obstacles. Mm. So golf for me is not a game. It's an inspiration. It keeps me grounded, thinking, and also finding resilience within me to say, okay, you went to the bush. How do you come out of that bush?
Right. Which happens in life, right?
Yeah, yes.
I did not finish my studies. I did not do this. How do I come out?
Yes.
Yeah.
One. Two, it has taken me longer to land on the green. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like in life as well. Mm. There are things that will be delayed, but they're not denied that will be achieved.
Yeah.
That's golf for me. By the time
welcome.
Listen.
Welcome, listen. Buddy. I'm so happy to hear this.
You know
this.
The next thing I'm going to do now? Collection of caps.
I'm so happy to hear this.
Yeah. That's what golf has given me. And believe it or not, your other favorite friend is taking me up on it. Wazzy now wants clubs. So that when we go to the range together, she's tired of recording me.
So by the way, our next conversation is the issue of father of daughters, right?
Ooh.
So we're going to talk about Wazzy and other things next time I see you.
Ooh.
But well done with the golf.
No, thank you, Mambo.
Yeah,
thank you.
But
no,
you got to get onto the course. It's a different thing from the driving range. You got to get onto the golf course as often as you can.
Yeah, Mambo, I will do that. But you see, I have one worry now about going to the course. You know, guys, I'm one of those people who have, I have everything that is required in golf. So when I'm dressed up, you'll think he knows what he's doing. Because golf also is like karate. You know, when you wear that gear, you're like, he's the one. But then I get there and then you realize, oopsie. Yeah. But
if you don't look the part, you don't invite the spirit of playing this thing. You got to look it and feel like I got this thing. Oh. First by the looks.
Oh, so feel it.
And go inside. Yeah.
Okay.
You got to feel it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We're on.
Yeah.
We're on.
Good. Thank you very much, mate.
Thank you. Thank you for a beautiful beginning of the year conversation.
Yeah.
As crazy as we are all the time.
I know you're going to Europe next week.
Yeah, I'll start
to. And please bring me something special there.
Hey,
not in two legs. I just, I'm happy with it in a bottle.
I actually considered that it should very well be in two legs because I think when I go to the first country, I must bring sherry. And then when I go to the other one, I must bring whiskey.
Okay, so that's a two-legged. Now you're talking. All the best, mate. And
thanks, mate.
May this 2026 bring a lot of
kettle.
Success to you. Kettle. Yeah? Because if you define your success in kettle, then may it bring that success, mate.
Thank you,
mate. I cannot wait the day I give over my daughter to somebody who's lucky, whoever they are, that I procure that cow from you.
Ah.
Make me the happiest person ever.
So right? The deal is done. I get the stuff to maintain them. You come back and procure. Deal.
Excellent.
Thank you, mate.
Thank you, mate. And thank you for watching this episode of Taking the Rams by the Horns. Please subscribe. It's a button. You can see it right here. You just press that thing once. It doesn't cost you anything. But most importantly, to a lot of my peers and friends, guys, Please do not send me WhatsApps to tell me how beautiful the podcast was. Comment on the podcast itself. Don't tell me. I know. Put it there. When I don't have engagement and subscriptions, this thing will never grow. It grows through subscriptions and comments. Telling me means absolutely nothing. I wish you a great 2026, but I shall see you next week. From me, Rems Mabote, goodbye and God bless.